let us go out there and spread your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
And welcome back to Crossroads Church. I'm excited about a new series that I get introduced to you. But before I do that, I'm excited about what's hot and happening here at Crossroads Church. And so if you haven't gotten one, I encourage you to grab one on your way out. If you've got your phone, you can simply go to crossroadschurch.faith/Sunday. And what I'm holding in my hands, you'll see you could download those pictures. And you'll never, ever be caught wondering what's hot and happening here at Crossroads Church. So in case you're wondering, you don't have this in your hands yet, let me tell you. First of all, we have our men's bowling tomorrow night, or I'm sorry, Tuesday night. So men, join us over at Salem Bowl at 5 p.m. or whatever time you can get there. And we are going to be giving away a study Bible. So it's an $80 value study Bible. And I'm excited about somebody getting to win that. All right, August is beginning to heat up, and I don't mean just the temperatures outside. This past week has been incredible. Hasn't that weather been just perfect? Well, August is coming, all right? And so if you've been enjoying it, I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, matter of fact, the next two Sundays, August 6th and 13th, and Sherry will tell you about this at the end of the service, there's some training immediately following the service for the Crossroads Kids volunteers. August 12th, the ladies are doing a team building event over at Miss Kim Wernsman's house. Now, for us in the military, we hear team building and we start running. All right, it means they're going to do something miserable. They're going to take eight people that don't like each other and get them to work together as a team. But that is not what the ladies' ministry is going to do. I promise you. All right, they mean nothing but good for it, and so I encourage you on August 12th to join them. The next day, August 13th, anyone have any idea what that is? It's Baptism Sunday, that's right, all right? And so, boy, I think we're going to have close to 10 baptisms on that Sunday. So God is good. He's working in your hearts, and he's working in our church, and so I'm excited about that. If you have been saved and you have never followed that believer's step of baptism, I'd encourage you to fill out one of the pink decision cards that's in the seats in front of you. Drop that in the plate, and then I'll call you and just let you know what that looks like and probably have a conversation with you before then. You turn to the back side of the hot sheet. There's two things coming up, and the first one is Sunday, September 10th, is our Friend and Family Sunday. This is our big Sunday for the year, and so I've been challenging the staff. I said, hey, let's break the record. All right, on Easter Sunday, we had 306 here, and I believe that we're going to go way beyond 306. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that as it gets a little bit closer. And then the following week, September 17th, I cannot wait to start this series called Experiencing God. If you've been in churches through the 80s and 90s, you probably heard of or went through a church that did this series called Experiencing God. And the reality is it has the opportunity for millions of people to be drawn closer to the Lord. That's what's happened in its history. And so we are looking forward here at Crossroads Church to go through this 12-week study where we are challenged to experience God. Amen? All right. Well, if you are technologically savvy, I would encourage you open up your app to YouVersion or the Bible app and find the events, and you'll find Crossroads Church right there. And when you get to that, you'll notice that it's got the new series right there in it. And the new series is Shipwrecked. When your faith is in shambles, all right? Anybody ever have their faith in shambles? Okay, you know, don't raise your hand yet. By the end of the service, you won't raise your hand either. But here's a quote. It says, what the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. And so what I want to do is I want to take us this during this series through to this Bible verse called, or in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. It says this. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. You hear about this all the time. Pastors, worship leaders, Christians that have been Christians for decades walking away from their faith. And that's what 1 Timothy 1:19 finishes. It says, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. What does the Bible tell us faith is? We read about this in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Could you imagine going into a court of law with some faith? Judge, I promise you the evidence is in this baggie that has nothing in it. Just trust me. And a lot of people look at our Christian faith as that. And what God says is, yep, you can't see it. You can't see me. But it's the substance of what you can't see. And not only that, it's the evidence. And I think that's why some people walk away from their faith. The reality is we all have faith. The question is, what is your faith in? Is it in God? Is it in your job? Is it in your family? Is it in that new car that's not going to break down on you? Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. And today I want to tell you about one of those people that rejected this, and we find this from John chapter 17 and verse 12. Jesus says this, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. Not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, the son of perdition. Now, the son of perdition, we know as Judas Iscariot. One of the 12 disciples. There's a lot of men named Judas in the Bible. There's a tribe called Judah, which this name is taken from. And sometimes you'll hear someone have a like Judas Bar, and then what it means is the son of. In this case, you hear Judas Iscariot, which means that IS means from. Judas from Kerioth. He wasn't from where all the other disciples came from, Capernaum. But yet he had something in common with one of the other disciples. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk about Judas and Peter. And I want to kind of contrast these two, because both of them left their jobs to follow Jesus. It's not like today where you could follow someone online. When they followed Jesus, they literally followed Jesus. I think the series Chosen does a good job of showing what it must have looked like. Here they were, this band of men walking around with tents, going from place to place. The Bible says that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't own a home. He didn't stay anyone else's home all the time. Not only did they leave their jobs, they left everything, but both Judas and Peter cast out demons. There's another verse that says this, that when they stand before Christ and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Some will say, but we have cast out demons in your name. And what we forget is the power isn't the ability to cast out demons. It's in the name of Jesus. And so I don't care who you are, if demons flee from the name of Jesus. The third thing I think that they had in common was this, that both Peter and Judas betrayed Jesus. Now, if you think about this, the same story, but there was a vastly different ending between these two men. And so what I want to do is I want to show you today what Peter had to say about this. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I believe there was three things that Peter learned that Judas didn't. Three things that Peter learned that Judas didn't. And the first one was this, that Judas did not let go of his candy-coated sin. You remember I talked about that last week? Judas was hanging on to his favorite sin. Judas, And I don't know if you know much about him, but Judas had a problem with money. He was put in charge of the treasury of the disciples. John said it this way in John chapter 12. He says he was a thief because he was taking money. Now, they didn't know that while it was going on, but after he was gone, they started adding up the books. It didn't work out. If they were going to give anybody the charge of the money out of the 12 disciples, who should it have been? It should have been Matthew, tax collector. He knew what he was doing. He was an accountant. But the problem was they didn't like Mr. Tax Collector. He was someone who had betrayed them, their people. And they were going to let him get anywhere near the wallet, right? Because he'd been reaching in their wallet too often. And so instead, they took someone who was passionate about money. And they missed it. Let me start reading 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions." See, this is what Peter learned. Peter was a very passionate man. Do you know what that means when someone says you're passionate? That means you got a temper. That means you lose your temper. Peter lost his temper a lot. He lost his temper when they came to get Jesus. What did he do? He cut the guy's ear off. Was he that good of a swordsman that that's what he was trying to do? He was trying to cut the guy's ear off? I'll show you. No, he was trying to cut his neck off. Peter had passions. And what he learned is that he should no longer live in his passions. Judas didn't. Judas, following Jesus for 3 years, never let go of his candy-coated sin. Continuing in verse 2, "We shouldn't live for our human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking, parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you don't join them." Have you had some friends that are surprised that you don't want to go out on Friday and Saturday night with them anymore? Have you had some friends that said, "Hey, what is this? You're not opening up those emails that I sent you." You know what was in the email. They're surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. Anybody been maligned lately by somebody who you quit hanging out with because of the way they hang out? Peter said that happened to him. Verse 5, "But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." And make no mistake about this, church, it's not your responsibility to indict them. It's not your responsibility to judge them, because one day they will stand before the judge. All you need to do is give them the truth. And what they do with that is their choice. Verse 6, "For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that through though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers, and above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Did you hear that, church? Love covers a multitude of sins. Oh, I know we want their love to cover our sins, but we as Christ followers, our love should cover their sins, even when they keep falling into the same. Now, that doesn't mean you need to enable the sin. That means you still need to love them. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes, is to love somebody in spite of their sins. But that's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus did. Verse 7, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." Oh, I think we do a good job of showing hospitality here at Crossroads Church. I'm proud of you as a church. I'm proud of you how that you welcome somebody who's walked through these doors for the very first time. And it doesn't matter what they look like, what they sound like, or where they're from. You greet them with open arms. So the first thing that we see that Peter learned that Judas didn't was that he did not let go of his candy-coated sins. The second thing that I think contrasted the life of Judas and Peter is that Judas did not use the gifting on his life. If you read in verse 10, it says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace." I can tell you this, if you walk around Crossroads Church, you'll find the happiest people are the ones who are serving other people. The ones who have a job. The ones who feel like they're living out the purpose, the passion that God has given them. Not the worldly, not the fleshly passions, but the passion that God has put in their heart and has equipped us to live out through that gifting. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. It's amazing. There's a proverb that says, those who replenish others will be replenished from on high. Oh, I imagine that there are many who've worked over in Crossroads Kids, many who serve with our youth, and certainly are going to come back on Saturday, wore out. But here's what they have to remember. They serve by the strength that God supplies. And why do we serve each other? Why do we use our skills? Why do we use our talents this way? In order that everything, through everything, God may be glorified. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we need to learn to give up our candy-coated sins, quit living in our passions. Peter learned this, Judas didn't. We need to learn to start serving in the gift that God has given each of us. Thursday night, there was a group that gathered out by the garage and delivered 10 beds into homes. Can you imagine the smiles on the faces of the families that they were walking into? Not only did Judas not learn to use his gifting, but Judas did not rejoice in suffering. Verse 12, beloved, I mean, can you just imagine this? Here is Peter. Who was Peter? Peter was a foul-mouthed fisherman. He lied and he cussed. That's who God called to follow me. And here is Peter, and he is now at the end of his life, and he's writing this letter, and he's pouring out the things that he's learned. And I just see him, beloved. He's no longer the foul-mouthed fisherman. He's the grandpa that's given advice to his son, to his grandsons, and advice that he learned the hard way. Has anybody ever heard learn lessons the hard way? Man, I remember this. I was told that you can either learn from your own experience or from other people's experience. And guess what I chose? My own experience. I'm like, you know what? They are not as smart as I am. And I found out they were. And so here's what Peter's saying. Verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Uh-oh. How many people get surprised when bad stuff happens in their life? Now you can raise your hands, all right? All right, four of us realize that we're surprised. The rest of y'all knew it was coming. Maybe that's just your attitude in life. I knew it. I knew if I just would stay awake a little bit longer, the wheels of life would fall off. 2 weeks ago, Carrie and I are driving on Interstate 64. I'm doing what I try to do, and that's pass the car in front of me. All right, and I had a problem. I had four cars stacked up in front of me, and I had a tractor trailer here on the other side. I looked in my rearview mirror, and about a half a mile back looked like a bullet train coming up. And I'm like, no worries. He's got a half mile. He'll see that there's a bunch of cars in front of us. And I didn't look back, and I didn't think about it anymore. And a couple of seconds later, slam. Pull off to the side of the road. The guy is stoned. The license plate doesn't belong to the car that he's in. And guess what he doesn't have? Insurance. And I could have said, God, why us? We tithe. We serve the church. And here's what I said instead. God, thank you. Thank you that it was Carrie and I, number one, that we were safe. I told the business meeting it was because of my skilled driving. But I believe it was because of God's grace. Thank you. We can afford this. Yeah, we're going to have to pay our deductible. Yeah, we're without the nice car for a little while. But you know what? Maybe one of you all missed out on an accident. Maybe somebody that was in front of me missed out on an accident that they couldn't afford. See, I wasn't surprised when the fiery trial came. I expected it. And the way that you respond to it is different when you're expecting it. And he says, as though something strange were happening to you. Folks, you're either about to go into the trial, you're in the trial, or you're coming out of a trial. That's what Peter learned. And you know what? Everyone's trial looks a little different. My trial looks like a car. Your trial looks like a child. Another trial looks like a job. Someone else's trial looks like a house. I don't know what your trial looks like, but Peter said, don't be surprised. Verse 13, but rejoice. See, here's the difference between Peter and Judas. Both of them were expecting Jesus to come into his kingdom. He'd been talking about this. They were ready for it. I mean, they were getting excited. They were thinking about which of the Romans they were going to kill first because that's the way they thought. And they missed it. They missed what he was talking about. And matter of fact, they got upset. Peter said, when Jesus said it very plainly, what was about to happen. Peter said, not on my watch. That ain't going to happen. Mm-mm. No way. I will not let anything happen to you, Jesus. And Jesus said, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. Many theologians believe that Judas was trying to manipulate Jesus into coming to his kingdom when he sold him. Neither of them responded to the fiery trial that was happening. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, none of the disciples except John were at the cross. Why? Because of the fiery trial that they were facing. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. You know, one day, all of these trials that you have here on earth, the cars, the houses, the jobs, the children, it's going to be gone. You know, one day, you're going to be in Jesus' presence. And you're going to experience a fullness of life that you've always longed for. And I promise you this, when you get to heaven, I won't do something like this. Jesus, I just don't understand why you let that guy hit me. That is going to be the last conversation I bring up. Now, Jesus might have a couple questions for me. Like, Ronnie, I don't understand why. Verse 14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Oh, I love being called a Bible thumper. Ever been called a Bible thumper? Has anyone ever, they got that offhand name that they call you at work? They're trying to insult you. Man, I'm like, thank you. Matter of fact, I thumped it earlier today. And if you'll listen, I'll thump it again. Says, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. But none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Did you realize meddling was up there with murder, thievery, and evil doing? Well, as I'm studying it this week, I started digging into this, and it's not talking about meddling in other people's business. It's talking about meddling in sin. You know what? In the church, we got a lot of people who meddle in sin. Like, they just stick their toes in, and if no one's looking, if it's not Sunday, you know, they might go a little further, and then they get back out before church on Sunday. Then come Tuesday, they're back in there, wading deep into the sin. And then they get back out for church on Sunday. I think Jesus talked about this in Revelation when he says, I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And because of that, one day I will spew you out of my mouth. It says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God be? I don't know if you recall, but that verse I shared last week, that some, they're going to build works on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and all of their works are going to be destroyed. Why? Because they were doing it for themselves. They were doing it to get glory. They were doing it so that they might receive some honor. And when they get to heaven, they'll have nothing left. If there's Christians that are going to barely make it into heaven, what about everyone outside of these walls? What about those that haven't responded to God's word? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So when we look at Judas and we look at Peter, we see that Judas didn't let go of his candy-coated sin, the passions, his worldly passions. Peter did. We see that Judas did not use his gifting, but Peter did, and Jesus used him to raise up the church. We see that Judas didn't rejoice in sufferings. He tried to manipulate Jesus into revealing himself, and he was surprised when he didn't. You see, both of them had worldly passions. Both of them had a gifting from God. And both of them faced the fiery trials. And both of them were looking forward to a military solution, that he'd come in and establish his kingdom. Same story. Two different men, same story, but vastly different endings. Because Judas was filled with remorse. Oh, when he saw that Jesus was going to be crucified, he took his money back to the Pharisees, and they didn't want it anymore. And the Bible tells us he went and killed himself. Peter betrayed Jesus the same day, heard that rooster crow in the morning the third time after he denied Jesus, left weeping bitterly, and yet the Bible tells us about 50 days later, he's going to be in a boat, and Jesus is going to have mercy on him and tell him to do something he told him before and cast the net on the other side. And when the fish starts getting pulled in, John says, that's Jesus. And the Peter who had been running from God for the last 50 days because of what he had done the night before Jesus was crucified, dives into the water. And I could picture him there at the knees of Jesus, holding on, saying, depart from me, I'm a wicked man. Because that's what he told him 3 years earlier. Judas never had that chance. Do you know this, that when Judas brought the men to Jesus in the garden, and he kissed him, Jesus greeted him and saying, hello, friend. You know, there's Christians all across the country in name only, just like Judas. Come to church, claim to be a follower of Christ, but they missed it. They haven't forsaken their passions. They haven't started using the gifting. They haven't learned to rejoice in suffering. Same story, different ending. So the question is it going to be remorse or is it going to be repentance? Watch what Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll close. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich, listen to this, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, they fall into a snare, they fall into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Those who desire to be rich fall into ruin and destruction. Verse 10, one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. But listen, it is through this craving, it is through this love for money that some have wandered away from the faith. That's what took Judas away. It's no different today. For this craving, many have wandered away from the faith. For this craving, Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, wandered away from the faith. For this craving, how much does it take for you to wander away from the faith? It says it right here, the desire to be rich. It's not being rich. There's some rich folks in this church. There's some rich folks in this town that serve Christ. See, it's not being rich that's the problem. It's the desire to be rich. It says, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of it, the desire for the money is what creates the evil. Here's what's interesting when it comes to churches. I've been sharing this all week. The last thing that someone brings with them when they come to a new church is their wallet. Couple weeks, couple months, all right, you know what? I think I'll invest in this church. Last thing. Before they ever leave the church, months before they ever leave the church, the first thing that leaves, guess what it is? The wallet. Their hope doesn't rest in God. Their hope rests in the 10% that they're supposed to give God. It's amazing. I can read God's word and I can tell you that the Bible clearly says that men only are to be pastors, and I get amens. I can read and I can tell you that as it goes through Romans chapter 1 and it talks about the immorality and what happens there, I get a lot of amens. But when we talk about a problem that Judas had, I'm getting amens. And the reason why is because Judas isn't the only one that had this problem. Oh, we look at Judas down our nose and we say, 30 pieces of silver? That's all that you sold God out for? And the reality is that some of y'all sell him out for a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Some of us sell him out to pay the electric bill. Like, that's the last bill that you pay. Now, y'all have heard from me, I have not sold God out trying to pay the water bill because I've had it cut off twice since I've lived in Centralia because I forgot to pay it. Not because I didn't have the money, because I forgot to pay it. But there's Christians whose hope rests more in keeping the 10% that God says, test me. I love this. We test God everywhere. We test God in our language. We're like, is that really a cuss word? It is. If you're asking that question, yes. That's like someone is that really pornography? If you're asking that question, the answer is, yes, it is. Is that really wrong? Yeah, probably so. Did I really speak harshly to my wife? Yes, you did. Ask everybody else, including your wife. You know, when it comes time, we don't let our hope rest in God. We put our hope in Discover, Visa, MasterCard. We put our hope in everything else. See, you'll never see miracles happen in your life because you've never given God a chance to show you some miracles. I get this question all the time. All right. What about the single mom? Should they be taught? Yes. What about the little old widow that's on a fixed income? Should they be? Yes. Matter of fact, I say it this way. If all I was making was $1,000, I'm going to be the tither because I want to see what God can do with the 900 that I can't with the 1,000. And here's the problem. Some of y'all's faith isn't any more than $100. And the question is it a candy-coated sin? Is it that you don't want to serve? Or is it that you refuse to suffer in righteousness? Oh, you know what? I think it's a beautiful thing that a family decides that they're going to honor God and cut back on Christmas. What a story to tell your children. I shared this many times. My family moved over to Germany when I was 9 years old. And I remember this one Christmas, I got one gift. It was we moved in December. 2 weeks later, it's Christmas, and I got this one gift. I got to tell you, I wish I still had that little tank. I'd put it up on a cabinet. And I'd remember that my mom and dad cared so much, even when they had so little, that they got me that tank. But here's what's going to happen in December, November. You're going to stop giving. Start saving for Christmas. And your kids are going to open up presents that they don't even want. And in 2 weeks, they don't even remember. And they'll probably enjoy the box it came in more than the gift itself. But isn't that like us as adults with God? We keep sneaking back to our candy-coated sin. We keep giving ourselves, we got 10 reasons why we shouldn't be serving. Or we struggle suffering for Christ. Listen to me, church. Listen to me very clearly. One day, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth. Not here in the United States, on this earth. And you and I are either going to be spending an eternity in hell, or we're going to be spending that 1,000 years ruling and reigning with him here on this earth. And you're going to have a choice. There are going to be humans in your glorified body, and you're going to be able to testify to them. But what will you testify? When Jesus, ruling and reigning on this earth, tells people to bring the tithe to the new temple, what are you going to tell them? I don't know if I'd do that. Didn't work out for me so well. No. You know what? You find somebody who's been a lifetime giver or trust and puts their hope in God. I have yet to meet the one that says, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have done that for the last 10 years. I've not met them. And I talk like this all the time. See, we bust Judas's chops over 30 pieces of silver. And yet for $100, we do it again. Church, we're so much better than that. Dear Heavenly Father, God, help us not to have anyone in here like Joseph or Judas.